important this meeting open at 9 o'clock.
Hold on, Pete, you're not recording.
True.
Is that working? Roger, thank you. Okay, so we declare the meeting open, the Audit and Risk Committee meeting at 9 a.m. Announcement of visitors. Nothing as far as the Audit and Risk goes. Tanya, oh, sorry, Tanya. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you.
I'm all, sorry. And final, any financial interest disclosures?
Nothing, Pete.
Two, record of attendance. Full ship. Apologies, nil leave of absence, nil. Application for leave of absence. That's 2.1, 2, 3 and 4. Thank you. Three, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Draft motion that minutes of the ordinary risk committee meeting held on the 13th of December 2024 be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Have a mover, please. Councillor Taylor. Seconder. Councillor Norrie. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Welcome back to Leonora, Tanya. 4.1A, Chief Executive Office Report, Risk Management Update, February 2025.
So Tanya's the author of this report and has kindly agreed to talk to him. It was.
Thank you. So just a quick overview. The agenda report describes the activities which More Australia are engaged to perform. So we were engaged on a three-year term to provide engagement and consulting and advisory services in relation to risk management activities, which we're in our final year now, and that's due to conclude on the 30th of June. So the risk management activities described are largely guided by your risk management policy and your risk management strategy. So there are copies of the risk management strategy that were circulated and was most recently reviewed in December because the activities have been progressing and becoming more routine, which is exactly what should happen. When risk management is meaningfully integrated into the decision making and everyday business of any organisation. So it also describes the work that we've done as with the Shire of Leonora team, particularly where we've where there's been participation in workshops, how we've managed the information updates, and on page 4 of the agenda under comment is a very simple table which is effectively a very basic dashboard report. So that was developed from feedback from the executive team and the audit committee over a number of years now, which is very simply to communicate to the audit committee the high and extreme level risks that are identified through your risk register, and after the treatments have been applied, how many of those remain. It also provides a summary snapshot since the last reports have been presented each quarter to the committee, any new risks that have been identified and any risks that have been closed out. So in addition to that, as we work through the risk management updates with your team, what we do is work through your risk profiles. So those are defined in your risk management strategy. Basically, anything you want to know about risk management within the Shire of Leonora, you should be able to reference that strategy document to get some guidance on what should be happening and the reports that should be presented. So those risk category profiles, we work through those, which provide some description of the scope of each profile and what some of the weaknesses that may exist in the context of your local government and particular circumstances that that may eventuate in risk events or the risks that have been identified. So it's at a very practical level, very strategic high level because of the resources that are available, but with the aim that risks will be treated or at least managed to within your risk appetite. So it's probably not reasonable to assume you can reduce all risks to within your risk appetite level, which according to your risk management policy is low. But what's important is that you're looking at them and treating them. So that's really the activities that we go through. So we work through those risk profiles, and you'll see at the bottom there's a table which has a very high-level summary of the types of activities that will occur. And while we're making those, doing those reviews, so what has happened in each of those treatment areas during the last quarter, we will make updates to your risk register. So that might include new treatments that are occurring which may reassess the level of risk. So, for example, you may elect at some time through the implementation of your new ERP, some of your risk levels might escalate because that is a risk environment, but you would have treatments to note how you're looking to manage those areas. Another example which commonly comes up is where senior staff leave the organisation, so particularly where it's a CEO. There's a level of knowledge transfer that may or may not occur, but that it does increase some levels of risk as far as understanding where things are. So that's the process that we go through, and how that's reported to the audit committee is on page 7 of your agenda, is a risk update summary report. So what this looks at is each of your risk profiles. So it provides a summary, what's changed, and really that's one of the key fundamentals of risk management, is capturing things that have changed. But it helps you to understand easily where we've made updates. So where we've made updates to the risk profile and where we've made updates to the risk register. So it might be that we've revised a risk rating, it might be that there's new treatments, it might be that management consider that some of the treatments aren't adequate or appropriate and that they need to be revised. So that's the purpose of the summary report, and one of the other reasons that we provide that quarterly instead of, I think we only, originally it was being every 6 months, was because it is a very good way to understand what's changed. So I sit on a few different committees, and we get some risk registers that are ridiculously long. They're very detailed, so 100 pages, and the recommendation presented to us may be that we receive the risk register and updates. But unless I compare those hundreds of pages to the risk register previously, I won't understand what's changed. So that's the purpose of the summary report, and the executive team have communicated that is better to present every quarter, so that's why it's presented like that. So, Ty, did you want me to note any of the key points from that update in the risk summary report?
I'm fine.
Yep. So, some of the key areas I think that came up is around the updates to your ERP. So there's a number of actions that have been postponed, predominantly around financial management system controls for where there's been the intention to run training for team members. With a new ERP coming in, the reason for that delay is that a lot of the controls and the training can be integrated to combine with that with those new ERP requirements. So that's one of the key points. So I guess from a secondary risk factor is how are staff staying up to date with the requirements if they haven't done their training. Well, one of the explanations that I think was offered, I don't remember by whom, but during our workshop, was that, well, there's a larger number of staff who participate in those risk management workshops now. so they are more aware of that. There's a number of other things that the Shire does, such as outsourcing some functions, so that there are another set of eyes coming over things. So, for example, your financial management reporting. One of the other areas was looking at under financial controls is a lot of improvements that have been starting to come in through the development of approved management procedures. So that supports a number of your policy requirements. So there's a number of your policies that say the CEO will have procedures, and it's not a small task to develop those. So so that's something that is starting to result in this report being a little bit longer than sometimes it would be, because those things are starting to come in. And I think that one of the others was looking at legislative compliance. So it was noted in our workshop that there were some breakdowns in procurement controls and some actions which are summarised throughout the register. So that would be under new actions at the risk where it's reported on how those are to be managed. So it's one of those situations you can never really eliminate risk. It's about accepting that that's the environment and what are we doing about it and what actions are happening. So and having that continual reassessment rather than a set and forget approach. Happy for any questions if there are any.
Yes, Liz. Just with all these, the risk and all the updates, are they
not working across the board? I mean, do they regulate between smaller shires and then larger shires as well? I mean, what's the capacity of it all, I suppose, at the end of the day, compared to our little small shire that's got 30 odd employees or, you know, thereabouts, compared to you know, a Perth metro shire?
So as far as the regulatory environment, there is no hard and fast rule.
Yep.
So it's really the only regulatory reference that I can think of is under the audit regulations, so Audit Reg 17,
yep,
requires for the CEO to prepare a report to the audit committee, who then report to council once every 3 years, on the appropriateness and effectiveness of risk management systems, internal controls. So how do you report on the appropriateness of risk management systems if you're not doing it? So through the development of your risk management strategy and your policy, which were both updated in 2018 to align to the current risk management standard. So as far as a small local government, I would say that you're taking a very practical approach,
yep,
with the limited resources. So you're not doing nothing because it's too hard.
Yeah.
So you've established a practical approach. And one of the other key areas with risk is that organically there's going to be a prioritisation, and that's exactly what you guys are doing. So your strategy acknowledges the limited resources within the local government, and you're looking at things at a broad high level. So you don't have 50 risks relating to procurement controls. You have a generic broad level, and how are you managing in within that scope, which is appropriate because, yeah, you don't have a huge team to,
yeah,
run.
Yeah.
So there's a very practical approach, and I think that you guys are certainly doing more than some others. But it's all about the context of your environment. So you're doing things, and it's probably not always appropriate to look at a neighbour because they will have a different environment to you. They'll have different staff, a different structure. They'll have different community factors, and it could also be their control environment would be completely different. So it's probably not always the best to copy. It's about what's working best for you guys.
Okay.
If I could, just one thing I have noted is you remember that just in December you considered an update to your risk management strategy. So that, I think, highlights that you are moving along, because it got to a stage where there was an introduction of a new table within that to provide some, I guess, more autonomy to managers without having to continually report to the CEO to manage some levels of risk. But it's quite appropriate to the risk appetite and tolerance levels within your strategy.
Yeah.
Does that answer
the
question?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thank you.
So that's enterprise. Oh, I'm going to forget the acronym. Basically, it's our new system, internal computer database that we operate within finance, records, those sorts of things. I can't remember. What's ERP exactly stand for?
I think it's Enterprise Resource Program.
Yes, one.
Yeah. So ERP is probably... It's a very generic term, but it's usually a much broader concept. But basically, your financial management system, so your accounting system.
It's probably the key, well, it is the key risk control, apart from staff, that we have in the organisation. So if you recall, early last year, Reckon, which is a finance system that we've been using for quite a while, is no longer supported by the vendor. So we had to go back out to the market, and we're looking at an integrated system, and it's a far more modern system. It's the one we're getting at the moment, which Kiara is neck deep in to integrate by the end of this financial year, is a program called Council First, which we're really excited about, because it'll bring in a lot of controls, and it'll get rid of, as Tanya was saying, it'll help mitigate a lot of the risks that we have at the moment.
Very good. Okay, any further questions? Councillor Norrie?
Just Tanya, with the risk on page four, the little chart there,
yep.
We have safer financial, we have five high extreme related risks identified, three of them are residual, which means we can't do much about, and we haven't got any new ones, but what's happening with the other two that are identified, but are we...
Great question.
It just seems to be that we have five identified for financial and three are residual, which is, we can't do much about, but there's two swinging in the breeze.
Those two have, after risk treatments have been applied, the residual risk level is below what you report in here. So they've, through the treatments, the risk rating has been assessed to be medium or low. So that's why it's not included in here. So the three high or extreme risks, their level remains high even after the treatments are applied, which is, it's a good question, because that's the really important thing to consider in here is that, okay, we've got these, the key point one we know, so we're managing them, you've acknowledged they're at a high level. So again, there would be, I guess, an assumption that there's some prioritisation of resources towards those higher levels of assessed risks.
Happy? Thank you. Any further questions? Anything further you'd like to add, Tanya? Ty?
Not for me, but no, just echoing what Tanya was saying, the ERP will be one of the biggest key mitigation strategies we'll have, and we're trying to get that on board as soon as we can.
Thank you. Okay, there'll be no further questions in regards to the recommendation that the Audit and Risk Committee receive the summary of updates to the risk profile, the risk register and the risk profiles up to February 2025, and the above report updating risk management activities undertaken to date. Have a mover, please. Councillor Peterson. Councillor Norrie, second. Those in favour. That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thanks, Tanya. Thanks, Troy. 4.1B, 2024 Compliance Audit Report.
The compliance audit report is a requirement that the Shire needs to submit each year. It essentially looks at our compliance of legislative controls that have been imposed by the state government. The compliance audit return has been completed for this year. There's several relatively minor non-compliances in regards to our procurement processes, as alluded to by Tanya in her, her comments previously. One of them related to a tender that wasn't published on the website. That's been rectified. We are aware that we've had some issues around some of our procurement practices, and relatively minor ones. Hasn't caused any loss to the Shire, but they were non-compliances nonetheless. But there's the copy of the car or compliance order return is there for the council's reference.
Okay, thank you. Questions, councillors? We're going to sign that. Yep, okay, thanks. All right, no further questions in regards to the order reports minutes, 4.1b. Excuse me. The recommendation that the Audit and Risk Committee resolved to recommend the adoption of the 2024 compliance audit return as attached to council, and recommend that the council recommend to council that Shire President and CEO be authorised to sign the compliance audit return for submission to the Department of Local Government. Have a mover, please. Councillor Nardone. Seconder. Councillor Cottrell. Those in favour? Everyone. Thank you. Now, 4.1c, related party transactions and disclosures.
The council has made the decision previously in regards to reporting on related party transaction and disclosures on a quarterly basis. This agenda item is just noting that, and that's why council is required, and senior staff, those staff with delegations are required to put in a related party disclosure on a quarterly basis.
Thank you.
That's good.
Excellent. Any questions? Recommendation that the Audit and Risk Committee note the approach taken and the systems established by the management with regards to addressing the requirements of AASB 124 related party disclosures. Mover, please. Councillor Taylor. Seconder. Councillor Norrie. Thank you. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Okay, next meeting is for June 17, 2025. And we will close the meeting at 9:24. Thank you.